want you to imagine with me for a moment. God in heaven, this is not theologically correct stuff here, but just use your imagination. God wakes up on the right side of the bed. Okay, we know God doesn't sleep, but God wakes up in a good mood. Okay, and he decides, you know what? Anything that Ellie asks me for today, I'm going to give it to her. Absolutely anything. I've decided, firstly, whatever she asks me for in her time of prayer, that's what she's getting. And so he tells all the angels, hey, this is my deal. Whatever Ellie says, anything, she can ask me for anything. She can ask me for $1 million. She can ask me for healing. She can ask me for a revival. She can ask me for absolutely anything. I will not hold back. I will not ask questions. She'll just get it. And all the angels are like, yo, this could be interesting. And so the word gets around heaven and everyone's like buzzing, buzzing, buzzing. And finally Ellie gets out of bed and she gets up and she prays, oh, Lord, please just help me get through the day. And the whole of heaven goes, oh, man. Or perhaps it was one of you this morning. And your prayer was, oh, Lord, help me to be nice to everybody. Or something, maybe you just completely forgot to pray completely. And all of heaven is deflated saying, oh, you don't know what could have happened if you had just asked. I wonder sometimes if we take this gift that we have of prayer and the free, open invitation we have to speak to our Heavenly Father about anything and everything, it's something that if you've been in the church for a while, you know that you have, and so we take it for granted. That you may speak to the Almighty God and share your burdens with him every single day. But because it's there every single day, we just put it on the back burner. Why is our prayer life sometimes so paltry and weak? And we don't see God move, I believe, very often because we just don't ask in our lives. So Matthew 7, verse 7, and Jesus says this. I'm sure he's speaking about prayer when he puts this out there. He says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. The invitation is here for us to approach God your Father in prayer, and to see him move in power. And so three things about prayer that I want us to look at today, and then we'll move on to something else. Hey, listen, I've got like 6 months worth of preaching to make up for live, so we're just going to carry on. Luckily for you, yeah, 6 months, but yeah. Yeah. So here's what Jesus says, and the invitation and the encouragement to us. First of all, pray with passion. Pray with passion. So often our prayer life is very polite and, excuse the phrase, a bit sanitized when we actually ask the Lord things. We use very nice words. We're careful not to bother him too much because he's a very busy guy. And so we say, Lord, if it's possible, if you could find the time, perhaps maybe, although you probably won't, I know possibly maybe, but I'm willing to take a no. In fact, you know what? Never mind. And so we ask instead for our daily bread and we just keep it nice and simple. When he says, ask, it will be given to you. In fact, what he says here, there's actually a bit of a progression here. First you ask, and then you get up and you seek, and then you go and you knock on doors because you want something desperately enough. Whatever that thing might be. A commentator by the name of David Guzik says this, many of our dispassionate prayers are not answered for good reason, because it's almost as if we ask God to care about something that we care little or nothing about. This thing that you believe is so important in your life, this thing that you need so desperately, if the answer to that, if your biggest hope of that actually coming about is prayer, how badly do you want it? If the sum total of time you've spent asking God for it is 2 minutes, 30 seconds, one, I don't know. Do you really want this thing? And do you pray with passion, or do you pray just kind of weakly and half-heartedly? Remember, God gives us desires as a human being. There are certain things we long for in our lives, and God has very often given those desires for restored relationships, for healing, for all kinds of things. He gives us those things. And if these desires in our lives, if we believe that these are things that are good and line up with God's will, we ought to pray with great passion. There are certain things that you can be absolutely sure God will partner with you in if you pray with great passion. If you pray for your marriage, God will partner with you in bringing healing in your marriage. If you pray for the salvation of your family members, God will partner with you in that, because you can be sure God wants that as well. If you pray for healing, if you pray for your children, you pray for spiritual breakthrough, you pray for wisdom, you pray for understanding, these are things God is going to give you because He wants these things for you. But there are other factors involved. And so here again, one thing that Jesus is encouraging us to do, a second thing, is to pray with persistence. To pray persistently. Prayer is not something that you just shout out once to the Lord. I would like this, please. Boom. Like you send in an email request to God and then it's there forever. Sometimes God wants us to persist in prayer, to keep going at it. And you'll see through this week in our breakfast bites, you know, there's going to be a lot of teaching about persistent prayer. But one of the illustrations that Jesus uses is about a widow who wants justice. He doesn't explain the justice, but she bugs the judge. And Jesus says the judge is an ungodly guy. The judge doesn't even believe in God. But this widow bugged him, persisted so much that he eventually gave her what she wanted. How much more will God, who is not a bad judge, God who is a good father, how much more will He give you what you want if you continue and persist to ask in these things? But sometimes, being a good father, He wants to see how much you want it. How much do you long for this? So much so that you persist in prayer. So a couple years ago, this has been a consistent thing as parents that we've had, but every now and then our kids will ask us for something. So going back a couple years, it was like, Dad, please can I have a pony? Or please can I have a dolphin that can live in the pool? Please can I have, you know? And I'm so grateful that my kids would ask. But my standard answer to all of this is, I'll think about it. Even if it was more reasonable things like, please, Dad, can we have a puppy? Or please, Daddy, can we have a kitten? Please, Daddy, can we have a guinea pig? Or a budgie? Or a goldfish? My standard answer still is, I'll think about it. Because I know my children. And I know that more often than not, by next week, they've forgotten that they wanted a budgie. Any parents, you know what I'm talking about? Okay, that's the strategy. I'll think about it. But a couple of years ago, Ethan came to us and said, please, Dad, can I have a hamster? And we said, I'll think about it. Mom and I said, we had a chat, we'll think about it, Ethan. But the next week, have you thought about the hamster? And the next month, Dad, what about the hamster? And then Ethan had to do a speech at school about animals. And so he did it about a hamster and how much he wants to have a hamster and how hamsters just need love, and he has lots of love to give to a hamster. And so convincing was his request and his presentation that we actually got a message from the whole class, a little voice note to, please, Ethan's mom and dad, please buy him a hamster. And so eventually we were convinced the boy really wants a hamster. And so Coco now has pride of place in our lounge for the last couple of years already, I think. Do you really want it? Do you really want to see God move in your life? Don't stop praying. Persist, persist, persist. Just because your prayer was not answered immediately, don't give up. Keep on asking. Keep on asking. And there are other factors involved, things that are happening in the spiritual realm that we don't even understand. You may remember the story of Daniel, again, I'll unpack it a little bit more in the breakfast bites, where he prayed earnestly before the Lord, but the Lord didn't answer him for 3 weeks. Why? Because there was a spiritual war that was happening. And the answer to his prayer was delayed because of that. There are things that we do not understand. There are factors that we don't understand when it comes to prayer. Keep praying. But the third thing is pray with faith. Pray with faith. Believing that God can do whatever you ask of him. I love that benediction that says, now unto the one who is able to do immeasurably more than you can even ask or imagine. If you can imagine it, he can do it easily. He can do stuff you can't even imagine. Immeasurably more. Remember who you're praying to. So Matthew 7 carries on from verse 9. Which of you, if your son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who's in heaven give good gifts to those who ask you? Zach, Ethan, has your dad ever given you a stone to eat for lunch? No. Okay. Puppy, you ever given your girls? All right. Of course not. And again, I think this is one of these moments where Jesus is saying this with a smile on his face. And I think there's a giggle coming from the congregation, from his crowd, saying, wow, what a ridiculous illustration. And then he says this, he says, and you guys are evil. And I think again, he's saying that as a little bit of a chirp. He's saying, you guys are evil. You're wicked people. You're sinners. How much more is your Heavenly Father, who's perfect, he knows you perfectly, does he know how to give good gifts to his children? He gives good gifts. He's not a stingy dad. He is, however, an all-knowing dad. But here's the three things you need to remember about your loving Heavenly Father, that he is willing. He is willing to give you good gifts. He actually wants his children to flourish in life. He wants us to have good gifts. And by the way, Luke's corresponding passage on this, the Sermon on the Mount in Luke's Gospel, he describes what the good gift is. The best of all gifts, by the way, he says, is the gift of the Holy Spirit. He says, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? So the greatest of all his gifts is his presence in our lives, him with us wherever we go. So he is willing. But he's better than your earthly dad because he is able. Earthly dads, one of the things we struggle with is we would love to give our kids everything, but we have limitations. God has no limitations. You have a Heavenly Father who is willing and able to give you whatever you ask. The third factor, though, is he is a God who knows what is best for us. And when we pray with faith, fully believing he's able to give us, but also giving him the authority in our lives to decide what is best for us. Because sometimes we don't realize it, but we're asking for snakes, thinking that they're fish. We're asking for stones, thinking that they look like bread. And we are not able, in our sinful selves, with all of our blind spots and everything we spoke about last week, we're not able to discern these things for what they are. Our Heavenly Father is able to point it out to us, and he knows what is best for us. But ask anyway. Ask anyway. Ask passionately. Ask persistently. Ask with faith, knowing God can do all that you ask of him, and then accept his will as he answers these things. And amazing things begin to happen as you persist in prayer, that sometimes maybe it happens quite slowly, you don't even realize this, but God starts to shape your prayer life and bring it more and more in line with his will and his plans and his purposes for you. Until you're praying in line with his will, and then you see him move in power. And you start to understand the sometimes when he does say no or not yet to your requests. You start to see his reasons why. And you grow in faith and you continue to ask more and more and more of him. Folks, I think one of the biggest sort of strategies that the enemy has over our lives at the moment is to stop us from praying. It's to be so distracted with everything else that's going on around us and to try and take things into our own hands and to not pray. How many of you realize this when you try to set time aside for prayer, that everything else around you seems to fight for that time? Your alarm clock doesn't work, or your brain doesn't register that the alarm clock is, or whatever, it's more likely. Something else comes up, causes you to stumble. Because prayer is powerful. And it's not the act of prayer that's powerful, but the person to whom we pray, who changes our hearts as we come to him time and time again. But Jesus then wraps up this section. And we're kind of heading towards the conclusion in the Sermon on the Mount. We've been in this passage for quite a long time. But he wraps up with this, what sometimes has been called the golden rule. Matthew 7 verse 12. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Do unto others what you would have them do unto you. You've heard that one before, I'm sure. This is one of those things that Jesus said that people love to quote because it kind of makes sense, the golden rule. And some historians actually suggest that Jesus borrowed this teaching from other religions and other teachers of the time. And it is true that many other religions and teachers that predate Jesus actually used this teaching, but in the negative. In other words, people like Confucius, Buddha, and even Socrates said something along the lines of this: do not do to others what you would not like them to do to you. Do not hurt others in a way that you would not like to be hurt. That was their teaching. Jesus takes it a step further and makes it a positive thing. Says, go and do unto others what you would like them to do unto you. He's the only one who does that. He is unique in his teaching in that sense. And you might ask, well, what's the difference? Well, the difference is this. There's a law and religion says, don't do, don't do, don't do. Don't touch, don't go there, don't do this, don't break rules. Where Jesus says, if you want to be my follower, I want you to actually go out and be proactive. So imagine Jesus was talking to, Jesus the driving instructor. All the other driving instructors are saying, don't break the speed limits. Don't run through a red robot. Don't overtake on the wrong side of the road. Don't. That's how you become a good driver, according to their religious mindset. But Jesus comes and he says, be the best driver you can possibly be. Go out and look for ways to make the road pleasant for other people. When you see other people stopped on the side of the road, go stop and see if you can help them. Let others pass you. And instead of flicking that other sign, wave politely as people pass you, you know, and break the rules, whatever. Do you see the difference in it? One is full of like, this is how not to die, and this is how to live. You see what Jesus is saying? Now do unto others what you would have them do to you. It's so full of life and joy and an invitation to be loving and to be the salt of the earth. And if you read that, because I think it kind of serves as a bit of a summary of everything that he's said so far in the Sermon on the Mount. And if you start to read the Sermon on the Mount with that as your guiding principle, doing to others what you would have them do unto you, it makes a lot of sense. You know, instead of being judgmental, be generous. Instead of being condemning, be kind. Loving your enemies and praying for those who persecute you. But what does this verse have to do with prayer? Why does Jesus say it straight after his teaching now on asking and seeking and knocking generously? What if we did this? Whatever you pray for yourself, pray also for others. What would it look like if we applied that principle to prayer? In other words, care enough about the needs and the concerns of those around you as you do about your own concerns. Pray as passionately, persistently, faithfully for your brothers and your sisters. And Jesus even says, for your enemies. Pray for them. like you would pray for yourself. Paul puts it this way, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. How better to bear one another's burdens than in prayer? Yes, there are other ways we can help each other out. But prayer is the primary one. This is the law of Christ, do unto others what you'd have them do unto you. Pray for others as you would like them to pray for you. It's amazing when somebody has a massive need in their life. Sometimes that person, you'll find that person has faith for God to bring about the healing or the job or the breakthrough that they're looking for. But sometimes they need to come and bring that to the church where there are others who can carry that burden with them. It's too heavy for them on their own. I can think of a number of occasions where somebody has come to us as a church or come to me as a pastor or in capacity as a friend and said, I need a miracle in my life and I don't see how it's going to happen. But because I'm less involved in the situation, whatever it is, but I can see how God can answer that. And I can pray with the faith that they don't have at that moment, the passion that they might not have at that moment. Does that make sense? And this is why he says, come and share your burdens with one another. Collectively, we have faith, we have persistence, and we have passion. A friend of ours who came once, they had just been to the hospital. She was expecting her first child. And she came, they'd just gone to the gynae, and the gynae said, you know, there's a problem here. And they did whatever tests were necessary and said, yeah, unfortunately, next week you're going to have to come for the DNC. Yeah. You're going to have to deliver the baby. The baby's not going to survive. And she and her husband came to our house devastated. And at that moment, they couldn't pray for themselves. And they asked us to pray. And Bron and I just joined hands with them and we wept with them and we cried out to our good Father, Lord, this can't be right. This is not okay. And I went back to the doctor the following week. The doctor said, I don't know what's happened here. This child is now 2 weeks further on than she was supposed to be and everything is fine. And Kaylee is now 10 years old. God moves in power. This is not the God of olden days who used to do miracles, but he's kind of semi-retired now. No. This is the God who sits and waits for his children and he says, ask me something. Ask me something. Watch me move in power. This morning I want us to wrap up in a way that maybe make some of you a little bit uncomfortable. But I feel like this is something we definitely need to do. This has been a tough year. Anybody who's had an easy year, don't put your hand up. We don't want to talk to you. This has been tough for everybody, right? This has put every single one of us well outside of our comfort zones. We're so grateful for the way that God has contained everything and how God has had his hand of protection and blessing over each one of us. But I know there are many needs. I know there are. And if you have a massive prayer need this morning, I want you to acknowledge that in a moment by standing so that we can pray together. We've got about 10 minutes left. And I want you don't necessarily have to declare what that need is unless you're willing to. But I want us to pray for one another. Not just now in 10 minutes, but persistently through the week. There may be somebody in the church now, you know what that need is, and you personally are going to share that burden with that person and continue to pray for them passionately. For some of you, the need, you can't speak it out. All I'm going to ask you to declare is, God knows. God knows. And we'll pray for you. Does that make sense? But don't miss the opportunity today to ask to ask, to step out in faith and say, Lord, I need a miracle. And in the weeks to come, my heart's desire, my hope is that we're going to hear from some of you, hey, this is how God has answered that prayer. This is how God has answered. So, anybody wants to stand and just say, I need prayer. I need you to share this burden with me. Where you are, you can stand. Thank you. All right. Thank you. Anybody who wants to actually say what it is so we can pray specifically, you don't mind saying, yes. Okay, I've forgotten your name, sorry. Andrew. Let's pray for Andrew. Lord, I just want to commit Andrew to you and thank you that